Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Alone, apart from, different from any other. He looked around in Isaiah. He said, Isaiah, I looked. I didn't just look on earth, but I looked in heaven. And I just didn't look in heaven, but I looked in the heavens of heavens, and I couldn't find anybody even like me, not anybody even close. We're not talking about Mr. Universe. We're talking about God Almighty, who was and is to come. And He's living in our hearts. He's here in our midst today. And He's ready to move in our spirits. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Thank you so much for being faith-filled. Thank you for being courageous. Thank you for not letting fear rule your life, but letting faith rule your life. And this morning, I am going to preach, beginning out of Psalm chapter number 29, a man who intimately knew stress and pressure and war and loss and fame and rebuke and hatred and vengeance from others. His name was David, and he writes in Psalm 29 and verse number 1, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." And this morning, as you're seated, I'm going to preach on this subject matter: right voice, right choice. And as you're seated, I'm going to ask you to think about making a commitment this year to ensure that the predominant, that the clear, that the most frequent, that the overriding, that the most authoritative voice in your life is the voice of the Lord. We live in a world full of many voices. The Bible says there's many sounds and none without distinction. They all have a purpose. And we know from reading the scriptures that Satan's most powerful tool is definitely his voice. His voice, by his voice, he deceived Eve, and she ate and gave to her husband. And through his words, he convinced one third of the angels to rebel against God. And by speaking words, he was planted thoughts in the human minds and seeds of rebellion that have destroyed individuals' hope of eternal life. It's recorded that by demonic influence, men have cursed God. The words of Satan have incited rebellion, have gendered strife, and the voice of Satan will cause rebellion and war against the kingdom of God after the millennial reign. The voice of Satan has been speaking defeat into the lives of some of you who sit in this place today, and perhaps some of you that are listening online. The voice has not been loud in the ears of all of you, but to some of you, Satan has whispered discouraging words, feeding doubt. He's been condemning you. He has been telling you about your failures and reminding you of them and telling you that you're certain to repeat those failures. The voice of Satan has told you that you're not important in the kingdom of God or the grand scheme of things. The voice of Satan has said that you can't continue to live an overcoming Christian life. And the voice of Satan has been trying to persuade you to back off in your pursuit of spiritual things. The voice of Satan's been telling you that neither God nor your church family loves you. The voice of Satan has been stoking your fears. It has probably been the strongest voice of fear in our generation. But I'm preaching to you: right voice, right choice. Wrong voice, wrong choice. I'm going to remind you that Satan said he was going to get even the dead body of Moses, and he had to fight the angel of the Lord over a dead body. He said, I'm going to do that, but he couldn't do what he wanted to do. He had to have permission. Everybody say permission. Permission to attack the body of Job. So I want to say this to you. If any of you get a sickness or a disease or an illness, only God can allow that to happen to you. We have Bible precedents. Job is likely the oldest book that ever was written. And he had to, the Bible says that Satan had to come and say, please, may I? Father, may I? Father, may I? Father, may I? Everything that a man hath, he will give for his health. Skin for skin. And God said, oh, I'll let you, but only by permission. It is particularly important that we see the power of God. But it is also important that we see where this voice, the voice of Satan, emanates from. Again, the Word of God gives us a true picture. And in reflecting on Lucifer's rebellion in the heavenly realm, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah out of Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse number 13. For I said to you, I will ascend into the heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of God's far away in the north. Verse 14, I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. But instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. Everyone there will stare at you and ask, can this be the one who shook the earth and the kingdoms of the world? Is this the one who destroyed the world and made it into a wilderness? Is this the king who demolished the world's greatest cities and had no mercy on his prisoners? The kings of the nations will lie in stately glory in their tombs. But you, Lucifer, will be thrown out of your grave like a worthless branch, like a corpse trampled underfoot. You will be dumped into a mass grave with those killed in battle. You will descend into the pit. Wrong voice, wrong choice. Satan listened to his own voice and he made a wrong choice. And we see this story of his bitter end. Yes, Satan even deceived himself with his own voice. Yes, he did. And the son of the morning became the Lord of the flies. But there is a greater voice than that of Satan. There is a voice that was there at the beginning. The same voice will be speaking when all that we know and all that we see has melted with fervent heat, according to 2 Peter 3. But the truth is spoken by that voice, by the Word of God. The voice of God can and has and will make nothing into something, darkness into light, bring fear in. Banish fear with love and doubt with faith. The voice of God can bring words of encouragement to the downhearted, cast out thousands of devils, heal sick bodies, banish diseases, rip fear from the thinking, and raise the dead to life again. And the list goes on and on and on of what the voice of God can do. The voice of God resonates from a time gone by when the Apostle Paul pushed through many spiritual struggles. And in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, he says, but thanks be unto God, who in Christ always leads us to triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. You read 1 Corinthians 11 and you see what Paul went through. But he said, guess what? I'm a trophy of God and I'm winning all the time. I am victorious always. God's voice has got to be the primary voice in your life and in my life. Tune out the other voices. Turn them down. Maybe get rid of them totally. This is the voice of truth. We are in a war for our souls. Satan speaking against you and I, this local church must hear and listen to the right voice. You must listen to the right voice. Your family, your world, and your God are depending on you to hear the right voice and make the right choice. If we are going to war a good war, we must study from the greatest text of all time. Warriors, men of war, have textbooks that they read. That's why they send them to West Point and to study military strategy. And they read specific texts to study battles of the past, because they know that basically the mindset of man works similarly. But I want you to take a trip with me back centuries ago to a date that no man can name and journey to another era when things were so different in this place that we call the universe. To a time when darkness enveloped and spake into the existence. But now there were no sun, moon, or stars. We're going back to an age when light was not in this region of the universe and to the empty reaches that we call space. We're going back to what the Bible calls the void. The prophet Moses, by revelation of God, records things as they happened in the beginning in Genesis 1:1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And we know that there are parenthetical changes and there are sentence structures that we look at. And here is a basic pause. Let that soak in. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was just darkness. I don't know how long it's been since you've sat in darkness. Or that you woke up in the middle of the night and we happen to have blinds that block out the light. You can see a little bit around the edges. But you wake up and you go, what time is it? I know the sun's not up yet, but there was no reference of sun or moon. And when there's no reference and when there's no light, there's no observation of what is around. And all there is darkness and your imagination to capture what might be. But how does your imagination capture what might be when you've never seen? Think about that. How do you envision the color yellow when you've never even seen orange? How do you envision a person when you've never seen a baby? How do you envision a mountain when you've never seen a hill? There's no reference point. But God is the one that gives us reference points. And those reference points of yesterday lead us to the future that He has prepared for us. There was, it seems, something that filled the space that now is occupied by what we call Earth. The content was unknown, for it could not be seen, and it appeared that it had no purpose or reason, or it had not yet been revealed. It was a blob of senseless matter just lazily drifting through the unfathomable reaches of the universe, following an uncharted course through the vast, dark, and timeless corridors of nothingness. For how long this had been the case, only God knows. You and I can only guess. For time as we know it did not exist, and nothing seemed to change, and no one would have ever known if things had changed, because there was no light to reveal what has changed. But it was all to change in a moment's time. A stirring started in the thinking of God, and the hovering Spirit of God was fluttering about over the earth, and sound waves from a voice without a body were about to descend. It was a steady voice. It was a certain sound. It was the voice of authority. It was a confident voice without a doubt. It was a voice that would cause whatever there was to respond. It was a voice that would be speaking and never rescind the command that it spoke. It was the voice of Almighty God. It was a benevolent voice of the God of the universe. It was the voice of the only wise God. It was a voice of the only God. And the second part of verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And verse 3, and God said. Now, we can listen for voices, and we can listen for voices that reassure us or make us nervous. When we've not behaved and not done well, and we hear the voice of our father or mother, it stirs us and shakes us. When we've been doing well, we can't wait to hear their voice because we know we're going to get affirmation from them. But from the moment that God said, the vastness of all that was and all that would be stood at rapt attention, waiting for instruction. A reverberation of the sound wave sent forth from the voice of Almighty God sounded throughout the infinite space, and it changed things for good. And all that God intended to be would be. In verse 3, the second part says, let there be light, and there was light. In verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. A new thing happened because a voice without a body attached to it said. That's simplistic, but it's profound. And it's true. A voice that came from a region unseen, and a great change was effected because of these simple words from a power source. And what was unknown because of the darkness became well known because of the light. And what was only the beginning of the work of words happened upon the earth. This wasn't a talking head that you see on your video screen or your television screen telling you something that may be or may not be. This was a voice speaking from out of everywhere and nowhere at the same time, without a body, without an image to attach itself to, but it's much more authoritative than the guy in the suit. Still today, that voice has power, and yet today that voice speaks into the darkness to bring light, and that voice is speaking this day into your life, into my life. And I've watched you, and you've allowed God to speak into your lives. I've watched you in your sickness and your pain and in your fear and in your lack and without a job and the uncertainties of disease coming against you. And I've watched you, and for the most part, you've listened to the voice of God. I commend you for that, because we struggle, because there are so many voices in our world, and sometimes so many that we feel like we have a split personality. Are you listening more to the voices of those who can be seen than the voice of the one who cannot be seen? That's the struggle. Because the Bible says the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You see, his is a voice whose power surpasses any other power that is. And if one could reach to the end of space, they would find no other voice with the power of this voice. Once again, we read from the prophet Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 9. And God says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God as there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. In other words, whatever I say will happen. I am so thankful for that. Now, the problem is it doesn't always happen when we think it's going to happen. It comes to my mind at this time, and for our grandchildren, two of them asked for microphones, and then our children criticized us for buying them, but I told them they hadn't altered the Christmas list, so it was their problem. They're little wireless microphones, and there's a video I have, and oh, once they had them, they were given play-by-play of every present that would open and everything that was going on, and trying the reverb and trying the sound effects and all that kind of stuff, and there was just a cacophony of noise. It was just blaring. And it's kind of hard to find the silence in the midst of the noise. And there's a lot of noises in this world, and we've got to distinguish one from the other. And God says, my counsel will stand. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. They can shout it with a microphone. They can declare that it is not, but if I said it is, then it is. And I thought about them as they opened their presents and they had made their list and they had expectation, and some of them had 2, 3, 4 Christmases just because of the way the family structure is and all the parties that happened to the extended family. They waited and waited and waited. And I can remember waiting for Christmas to come. I can remember waiting for my grandparents to come. And see, my parents were lucky. We didn't have cordless microphones with sound systems. I had a little drum with a tin drum with sticks, and it hung around my neck. And grandma and grandpa are coming, and they said, go outside and play that. From one end of the street to the other end of the street, probably a quarter mile, I'd go down playing my drum and looking. They weren't there, and I'd go down and play my drum and look, and they weren't there. And I did that for a couple days in a row, because in those days, no cell phones, no whatever, and grandma and grandpa had a little dog, and they drove slow. We didn't know when they were going to arrive, but we knew because mom and dad said they were coming that they'd eventually get there. And it's kind of like that with us and God, is that we know he'll get there and know he'll deliver. We don't know when, but if God said it, I believe it. If God said it, his voice still resonates in my spirit. I've got to keep it alive in my thinking. I've got to keep it alive through his word and through his spirit and through fellowship with you. God was the only one could do this, that could declare the end from the beginning. And he still is the only one that can do that. Satan cannot speak a creative word. He can only speak confusing words. Yes, God said that his words would stand. You know that God did not make the angels in his image? They can't speak creative words. But he made you in his image. And you, through the power of the Holy Ghost, can speak creative words. That's why you lay hands on the sick and recover. And you lay hands on them and they speak with new tongues. And you lay hands on them or you speak to them and devils are cast out. Yes, God said his word would stand. And if somehow mankind could capture the words from the past, we would hear a commanding yet confident, unwavering tone, maybe even subdued. Let there be. This was the beginning of the work of the voice of Almighty God, and yet to come were countless times of the sound of his voice changing time, matter, and destiny. He would move heavens and earth, literally. He would change the sequence of events, and he would speak to man. And as we said recently, he even made time stand still. It was not always in the same tones that the voice would come. The same voice that had brought life and hope to the darkened universe would come regularly in the cool of the day to speak with the sinless man and woman. And Genesis 2 and 15 says, and then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the voice said, and it happened, and the voice which was so soothing day after perfect day and much anticipated during times of obedience would later be feared. In Genesis 3 and verse number 8, after they sinned, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking, of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And so the voice which had given dominion over all things now would retract that dominion because they didn't listen to the voice. Instead of gladness and anticipation, we find sadness and trepidation. And the regular visits of the voice were no longer, because wrong voice, wrong choice. You see, it's very, very simple. But we've got to be reminded. How many times do we have to be reminded? Maybe every day. Because there's so many other voices. And they're so incessant. And they're so insistent. And they're coming from everywhere. And it's been revealed in our political system. It's been revealed in our health system. It's been revealed everywhere in our world during this past season that we have just come through. But there is a voice that speaks words of a hope. And in Genesis 12 and 1, it says, "And the Lord said to Abram, get you out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And the promise was sometime in being fulfilled, but it was fulfilled, and we'll skip the verses, but in Genesis 17 and 1 and 2 it was fulfilled, because God said, and it happened. Abraham listened to the right voice, made the right choice, and we know today the nation of Israel exists, and out of it came the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The voice continued to speak throughout history. It's the voice that can set the captives free, give hope to the grieving, reverse the course of nature, turn back the clock of time, raise the dead to life again. In fact, in John 11 and 43, we know of a man that had been dead for 3 days, and then God came. God in flesh came, and when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." That's just one time that the voice of God changed the course of nature. It backed up the clock days. It backed up the clock before disease. It backed up the clock before the grief and the fear. God can do that for you and me. Let's listen for his voice. It doesn't matter what you've lost this year. He can give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will he give into your bosom. And you may have walked in fear and you feel condemnation for it, but let perfect love come into your life today. Let his arms wrap tightly around you. Let his spirit smother your mind with his love. And let his voice speak to you. It's a voice that can do those things. It's a voice that can speak to the darkness, banish the torment, remove fear, cast out devils, and bring fear to Satan himself and his minions. We read in Matthew 8 and 28, when Jesus came to the other side of Galilee, to the country of the Gergesenes, he met two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come to torment us before our time?" That voice can torment your tormentors. That voice can set you free. Listen to the right voice. I've often seen the bumper sticker, "I listen to the voices in my head." Hello? What voices are you putting in your head? What's in there? Are you reading the word of God that liveth and abideth forever? Are you singing good gospel songs that put courage and faith in your heart? Are you listening to the testimonies of your brothers and sisters that said, "I was here, but now I'm here. I was lost, and now I'm found. I was bound, but now I'm free. I was sick, and now I'm made whole"? Because if you listen to the right voice, you'll make the right choice. And to those of you faithful that are here today, I want to say thank you for listening to the right voice. It's not always easy. You got to tune your ear into it. Sometimes you need to walk through life going, la 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 la. Plug in your ears. Those on Facebook, they can't tell what I'm doing. Sometimes we just need to ignore the voices that are around us, because the voices that got into our head and ended up into our heart through the Word of God is the voice that we need to hear. We just need to keep on marching. We just need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We just need to remember, He said, I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. We need to remember what Paul said. He causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus our Lord. Always, 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 always. It was a voice that nature has to obey. Get it, folks. He created all things. He said it, it happened. He determined the bounds of their habitation, the Bible says. He told the ocean, you stop right here. That's as far as you can go. I am so glad that He's the one that's speaking into my life by His written word, by His Spirit, by the voice of you, my brothers and sisters, that encourage me when we get together for men's breakfast and ladies' Bible study and dinners and church, and we fellowship and we hear people say, oh, what Jesus did for me. Hey, He gave me a job. He provided for me financially. He opened up housing for me. He healed my body. He gave me peace. He filled me with joy. Tell somebody what God is doing, because you become the voice of God to them. The Bible says we're living epistles read of all men. It was this voice that can cause nature to obey. Think of Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 19. Jesus goes to the fig tree, and it says, and He seen a fig tree by the road, came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And just so you know how it works, when there were leaves on a fig tree, they were supposed to already have figs there. And He said, there were none. So He said, let no fruit grow on it ever again. And immediately the fig tree withered away, and the disciples saw it, and they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? God said. Now that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Like, right in front of your eyes, the tree goes away, it withers up. How does that happen? Well, if He can wither a fig tree that won't bear fruit, what can He do to the enemy that is attacking you? God can remove those that are withstanding you. God can provide for you when it seems there is no way. The woman had been sick for more than a decade. She's been hemorrhaging. She spent all that she had on a physician's, and she only got worse, and she looked for Jesus, and she came to the area where He was, and we've heard it so many times, and she squeezed around through the crowd and crawled on the ground, and she touched the hem of His garment in Matthew 9 and 20, and suddenly the woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of His garment, and she said to herself, if only I may touch His garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned around and when he saw her, He said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you whole. And the woman was made well from that hour. Several times the scripture says, from that hour. In fact, He spoke to somebody He wasn't even with, and He spoke to their disease, and they were healed from that very hour. The voice of God is speaking today to your life and mine. And if you'd stand with me, I'm not going to ask you to do something difficult, but I am going to ask you to do something hard. I'm not going to ask you to make just one commitment, but I'm going to ask you to make a daily commitment. This is a voice that brings faith to the spirit, makes the body whole. You see, Jesus had been falsely accused. They'd set a mock trial, bribed the witnesses, abused Him badly, and done this all under the cover of night, and humiliated Him greatly. They mocked Him ruthlessly, and they hung Him to die, and then gambled for His clothes. And you think you have it bad? Because somebody thumbs down you on Facebook? Come on, guys. Let's get real. Don't live your life and find your sense of worth by whether or not they like your picture. Come on, get over it. I'll tell you I love you when I see you. But I'm not going to tell you I love you on Facebook most of the time. Why? Because that's so shallow and it's just, come on. You ever had somebody like your picture and you go, who's that? And they live in the Congo and I've never met them. But they're friends of Brother Pascal's and so they like my post. And I can get my sense of self-worth or lack of self-worth from that. I mean, how many friends do you have on Facebook, huh? I don't know how many I have. But typically my deal is it's the people I've met face to face. Facebook, right? And if they're from another church, usually I don't. If they're a saint from another church, they're not my friend on Facebook. And if it's a woman, they're not my friend on Facebook unless they're my wife's friend on Facebook. Why? Because that's not what life is about. That's just all words on a page. But there's voices speaking into our life. Let the voice of those around you speak into your life. Your brothers and sisters. And if they say, I love you when you see you, that's good enough. They don't have to like your 68 posts that you put on Facebook. Don't post so much on Facebook. Then you won't feel so bad about them not liking it. That's the answer. Sorry, I'm just one of those things. But we live in a world where we get our identity from places that really don't have rights to speak into our life. You can be anybody you want on Facebook, right? I mean, Arnold stole my body and put it on Facebook. I mean, Schwarzenegger, just so you know. You know, we can be anybody we want on Facebook. But when we're face to face with Jesus, it's all stripped away. And we may feel like nothing, but that's all right. He started with nothing when he created this world in which we live. And we may feel like we don't have a general sense of purpose, but the Bible says it was void. But now he's speaking into our lives this morning. And I feel the gentleness of his Holy Spirit. And this sermon is not meant at all to be condemning, but to be encouraging, to say, I'm just going to step up and say, God, I'm going to hit the mute button on some voices in my life. Just because you get a video online doesn't mean you have to watch it and believe it. I'm real careful. About 15 years ago, I read an article online and I thought, that's a cool story, but I thought I might check it out, and it was a story. It wasn't even truth. What is truth? Your word is truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. So if there's a conflict between what God's saying and man is saying, then we know who's telling the truth is, because he cannot lie. Because he is truth. So I want to commend you, not condemn you, and say thank you for listening to the voice of God during this season in which many other voices would speak negativity and death and doom. But you know what? The children of Israel had to go through the first three plagues even to get out of Egypt. And then they had to serve with rigor because of the other plagues. But eventually they walked out with a high hand, the Bible says. And the Bible says none of them had any sickness or disease. You read Psalm 105. So let's remember who's in charge. And let's let his voice speak to us. Let it speak gently. Let it speak with authority. And after Jesus was crucified, we know that in Luke 23 and 34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see how generous he is? What do you mean they don't know what they do? He was saying they don't understand the extent
of the ramifications of their actions. You and I don't understand, only by the Word of God. Why? Because we live in this little pigeonhole called time, and we walked onto the scene and we're going to walk off, and it depends on which voice we listen to what our next stop is. Right voice, right choice. Wrong voice, wrong choice. God's with you. God's in you. Can we just open up our spirit to Him and commit to Him that we're going to let Him be the voice in our life? You're welcome to come spend time at the altar and in His presence and let Him speak into your spirit. In Jesus' name, I surrender to You, Lord. Jesus.